Praise the Lord. Thank you, Times Square Church, and all of our visitors for coming to the house of the Lord for our Tuesday night prayer service. The service actually begins at 5:30. And this evening, we just had so much fun reading the scriptures for those that were here praying together. And we even took time to sing some old-time gospel, real old-time. And I thank the Lord for how faithful he has been to us. This morning in prayer, the Lord put a message on my heart for this evening before we go to prayer together as a congregation. And it's from 1 Kings chapter 10, please, if you'll go there in your Bibles. In the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 10. And the title is, How We Come to Church Matters. How We Come to Church Matters. 1 Kings chapter 10. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God Almighty, for strength and wisdom. I thank you that you are a miracle-working God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this generation, that you will help me tonight to speak these words that you spoke to my heart this morning. And Lord, you'll help us to hear these words as a congregation. And I thank you for it with all my heart, in Jesus' name. 1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading the story of the Queen of Sheba coming to the temple to see Solomon and to see the temple. And I'm reading it as a type. It's a type of a person who comes to the house of God, who might even be in this church tonight, and with honest questions in your heart. You've heard a report about the presence of God, perhaps in the life of somebody that invited you here tonight. Maybe you heard about the church from a friend, or you were passing by on the street. You read some of the literature, and something in your heart stirred, and you said, I wonder, is it possible that God might be in this place? And if he is, what does he look like, and what do his people look like? And so I want to look at the Queen of Sheba as a type of one of these persons. And I'd also like to look at Solomon as a type of Christ. So when we're reading this, this is the way I'm actually approaching this passage of Scripture. And when the Queen of Sheba, verse 1, chapter 10, 1 Kings, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Again, remember, I'm speaking in type of a seeking heart coming to the house of God, looking for the king, of course, which is Christ. People have questions in their hearts, and I know there might be people here tonight that have these honest questions. Is God real? Is God real? It's a legitimate question. It's an honest question. And I do thank God, if you're here tonight and it's in your heart, that at least you're willing to ask it. Is he real? And if he is real, somebody told me that to know him brings someone's person's life into the supernatural. Is that true? I have a person that invited me here tonight, or I have a person I know in my neighborhood or my own family that said, my life is so changed since I came into the presence of God and I found a living relationship with Jesus Christ that I can't even begin to explain to you what God has done You have to go and see it for yourself. And so here you are tonight, and you're wondering, is there a God? Is he real? And does he really change people's lives? Or are all these people just more or less excited about being together, singing a few songs, praying some prayers? Is there really reality to it? It's an honest question. And God does not resent honest questions, by the way. They say that his presence brings order to our lives, our minds, and our actions. Is that so? I'm so scrambled in my mind. I'm so tired of this myriad of thoughts that I can't seem to fight against. And I've heard it said that where God is, there's order. There's divine. It's called divine order, actually. That everything, as chaotic as it might be without God, in God, comes together. And it all begins to make sense. And people start more or less functioning the way God intended them to function. It's called divine order. Is that true? And if it is, what does it feel like to stand among those who attend the house of God? It must be an awesome thing to be where God's people are, to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Those who really are approaching the King, if there really is a God, if he really does bring them into the supernatural, if his presence in their lives does bring divine order, then it must be an incredible feeling to stand among the people of God. Wouldn't you agree? So it begs the question, what do people feel tonight when they attend this house of worship and watch us pray and worship our God? If you and I'm talking to the believers in Christ now, if we are everything that we're supposed to be in the house of God, if we are coming into this house in the matter that God invites us to come in, if we're coming in with the right mindset, there should be a sense of awe come into the heart of those who live outside the kingdom of God. I remember the first time I walked into a Christian church. I'd never had that experience before. I sat up in the balcony, and I remember that sense of awe was in my heart. I looked at a people who seemed to really, really be focused on what they're doing. And I saw the preacher preach that morning, and he really, at least to me, I had gone to church as a young person where the people who stood at the altar looked as bored as death itself in what they were doing. But this guy seemed to really be excited about what he was doing. And I didn't understand a word he said, by the way, but he was very passionate about it. He spoke about righteousness, and I didn't even know what the word was. He spoke about those that were under the law as if something was out of order. And he kept pointing to me as those are under the law. And I was a cop at the time, and I thought, well, what problem has he got with people being under the law? Aren't we supposed to be under the law? Never took the time to really explain it, but he was passionate about it. And it stirred my heart. And I remember thinking, well, I'm kind of Christian by my birth certificate, but I'm not Christian like these people, and I wouldn't mind knowing what it is, that because my heart was stirred. And the question I have is tonight for us is, how serious are we about getting hold of all that God freely offers us in Christ? There's a wealth of life in Jesus Christ. There's an abundance that's beyond what our minds can think and what we can even ask in our deepest need. He tells us that he'll give us more than we can even think or ask. There's life, there's strength, the Bible says we change by the Spirit of God from place to place as we continuously keep coming into the presence of God. We're continuously changing. It's amazing to be walking with God. It's an absolute wonder to be born again by the Spirit of God and to be living in Christ in this generation. It's a wonder. As believers in Christ, the question comes to my heart, are you and I content with just the casual, or do we want the supernatural? A lot of folks are just content with the casual. They're content with come in, sing my three songs, and put my tithe in the offering, and more or less watch my watch get it over with. They're more or less content with the casual. May I just call it fire insurance? Just go to church enough so you don't have to go to hell when you die. But not really wanting to live for God, not really wanting that fire that God offers, that fire of God's Holy Spirit, that fire of passion he puts in the heart for the work of God, that miraculous change that he brings into the life of those who belong to him. So how do we come into the presence of God? And do our lives in Christ have the power or the witness to affect other people? That's a legitimate question that we should be asking ourselves as a church. How do we come to the house of God? How do we approach God? How do we sing? How do we pray? What is our view of God? How are we interacting with God, those of us who say we know Him? And are we so connecting with Him, in a sense, that people come in from the outside with legitimate questions and just watching us worship and listening to us sing and hearing our speech, perhaps, before the curtain rises, before we begin to worship, already convinces them there must be some reality to what these people believe. The Queen of Sheba tells us that when she came into the temple, Solomon's temple, it said, and when she saw all of Solomon's wisdom, James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8 tells us these words, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God that gives to all men liberally or freely, and doesn't withhold or upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so when we pray, the Queen of Sheba was taken aback by the wisdom. If somebody was listening to you pray tonight who doesn't know Christ as the Lord and Savior, were they taken aback by your wisdom? By the way that you pray, or the fact that you're at least willing to admit you don't have wisdom, which is a sign you're beginning to have wisdom. And you come to the Lord and say, God, your word says to me that if I ask, you will give me wisdom and you will not withhold from me and you will give it to me freely. It says if I ask in faith, it's mine. And so I stand at your throne tonight and I ask you for wisdom. Give me wisdom in my marriage. Give me wisdom in my workplace. Give me wisdom with my children, oh God, to know how to reach those inner recesses of their heart that I can't seem to reach in my natural understanding. God, I believe that tonight you're going to give me wisdom. Now imagine if you're unsaved and you're standing beside a person like that. And you're hearing them pray and say, whoever they're talking to, they really believe that he's going to answer them tonight. They really believe that. How do we pray? How do we approach Christ? We have a card that we give out. It's called Hope, a House of Prayer and Expectancy. And the question in my heart is, do you really expect God to answer you when you pray? I do. I do with all my heart. I'm praying for a spiritual awakening in New York City, and I honestly expect God to answer me. And that's not presumption on my part. I expect Him to answer me. I expect God to do the miraculous when we come into the house of the Lord. I expect you to be set free. I expect prison doors to open. I expect spiritually blinded eyes to see. It says when she saw the house that he had built. Now we're talking about Christ as the king. This is Solomon, but we're talking about Christ. And somebody coming into this sanctuary tonight and looking around, are they really taken aback at the house that God has built here? When you look and you see 103 different nations are actively attending this church and fellowshipping one with, there are nations in the natural who are at war right now, but in this house they're at peace. When we come to the house of God and we greet one another and meet one another, now I'm talking about not necessarily in the sanctuary, but outside as well, does the stranger look and say, my goodness, these people really do care about each other. They're not vocalizing platitudes. They haven't just memorized a few phrases they say on Sunday morning or Tuesday night. They really honestly care. And it said that Sheba, when she came in, she was really taken aback by the house that God had built. And when you and I choose to walk together, Psalm 133 says in unity, there's a blessing of God that flows from that unity that God simply commands life. We can be just having a conversation, not aware that the person beside us or behind us is listening. And there's something in that conversation of of spiritual affection, may I call it that, for one another, of care, concern, compassion, that you don't hear on the streets of New York City, folks. You don't hear it in the workplace. You don't hear it in very many neighborhoods. But people come to the house of God with an honest question, and they see that compassion one for another. They hear this genuine concern as we meet with one another. And as they begin to hear this, the blessing of God, which is life, begins to flow. And suddenly the questions of the heart begin to be answered. Surely God must be in this place. Who else could have done this? Who could have built this house? Who could have put such a place in Times Square and fashioned it in 1926, I believe, and put a crown up there, somehow knowing that Jesus one day was going to be king of this house? And it says, and the meat at his table. When she began to, in one sense, it's a type, but the meat speaks to me of the Word of God and the hunger the people seem to have for the Word of God. Now, if the Word of God was not producing anything on us, why would we be hungry for it? It would be like eating pictures of a steak dinner out of a magazine every night. I mean, it looks good on paper, but it's not doing anything for you. But there has to be something to this. It can't be just words in a book, because these people are so hungry for it. And it seems to be satisfying them. I hear it in their songs, and when they walk out, it's like they've had a good meal in the finest restaurant in Times Square. And she was taken aback at the meat that was on his table, and the sitting of his servants. Those who belonged to the house, as it is, were so attentive, as you are tonight. You're not wandering all over the place. You're not texting, hopefully, while I'm speaking tonight. But there's a hunger. There's a hunger because you're sitting here and you expect to change, don't you? I do. I don't ever want to come in the house and just go out the way I come in. There's no point to that. Because I'm promised in the Scripture that as I hear the Word of God, this power that God has to create a universe by the word of His mouth, as I hear His Word, He says in the Scripture that I will be changed by this same Word of God. I will be fashioned by the presence of God inside of my life, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. As I hear His Word and I believe His Word, He will change me. And, of course, that has been the testimony of many who are in this house. And the attendance says, the meat at his table, the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers. May I say the sincerity of those who are serving the church, the sincerity of the ushers, the sincerity of the music ministry. Who can deny here that this choir is a worshiping choir? These folks really do go through their own struggles just like you and I do, but they do come to the house of God, and I can tell you they give it their all. And thank God for that. Thank God for you. And their apparel, the decorum, the willingness. We don't all have to wear a suit to come to church. Don't misunderstand me. But we do make an attempt to look nice and to come to the house of God, because we're about to meet with the King, folks. And the cupbearers. The people who are serving in some kind of ministry. She saw this. And everything is working like clockwork. I had a university professor who was in charge of some form of administration in his college come here one day and asked me for a tour. And so I said, I did it personally. I took him on a tour of the church, and we went around our offices and around the church. And he said to me, he wasn't a Christian man, he said, how do you do this? He said, everybody is moving. Everybody is happy. Everybody is working. He said, you can literally eat off the floors in this church. He said, everything is in order. He said, I'm part of a large university. And he said, the floors are dirty. The place is chaotic. And people are complaining all the time. He said, how do you do this? This is a sample of a man coming in from the outside and with an honest appraisal, looking and saying, how is this possible? Because we have an organization maybe larger than what you have, and we can't do this. We can't do what you're doing. And I told him, sir, it's not us who do it. I said, it's the Spirit of God in us that gives us the ability to do what we do. And he said, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, his approach to God, in other words. When she saw, speaking of Solomon now, when the Queen of Sheba saw how he approached God, there was no more breath in her. There's a certain decorum of those who know God. There's a certain approach. As he walked up the steps, as it were, to that place of intimacy where he prayed and had encounters with God, she just saw the way he walked into the presence of God. And it was at that point, after seeing the whole house, that there was no more resistance in her. It means no more spirit. There were no more questions to be asked. There were no more unanswered issues. There was no more spirit. Her resistance was gone. And at that point, she would have had to say, whoever Solomon's God is God. This is undeniable. This was a lady who had her own kingdom to run. This was a lady who had her own castle, her own cupbearers, as it was. But there was nothing around her like this. Nothing. No matter how she may have tried to create this sense of order, she was in a place now of divine order. She was in a place of the majesty of God. And my point is, it matters how we approach God. It matters more than you and I realize it. We have created in our generation a casualness in great measure in the house of God, even under the guise of being friendly, that has done a great disservice to Christ. Because in that casualness that many places have created, we have created a sense that there's nothing here. If there were something of anticipation, we would not be sitting this casually. We'd not have our feet up on the altar rail. We would be in a place of a sense of anticipation. There would be something in us when we approach the throne of God, where we know that we're about to have a face-to-face encounter with a God who hears us, a God whose ear is not deaf, his hand is not short, his eye is not dim, a God who's willing and able to do what we bring to him, so that we might not only be gladdened and changed, but that his name might be glorified in the earth. Luke chapter 11, let me just read it to you, please, if I may. Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall say from within, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, which really means it's a boldness. Christ told us in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need to find help. And he said, he won't necessarily get up because he's his friend, but because of his boldness, he will rise and give him as much bread as he needs. And then Jesus goes into the next verse and says, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? This is all spoken in Luke 11, verses 5 to 13, in one context. When the Queen of Sheba saw how Solomon approached the throne of God, when people come into this house with legitimate questions in their heart and they see how you and I approach the throne of God, we're not approaching the throne of God as whining children who don't expect our Father to answer us. We're not approaching the throne of God as those who feel that they're unworthy, that God shouldn't hear us, God can't hear us, God won't hear us, God We don't deserve for God to hear us. No, we approach the throne of God as sons and daughters of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, invited to the throne of God. And we're invited to the throne of God, not in our strength, but in our weakness. Not in our abundance, but in our need. Not when we are strong, but when we know that we need the strength of God. And we come and notice this man goes to his friend, and he's not praying for himself. He's praying for a neighbor. He's praying for somebody in the midnight hour. He says, God, it's dark outside and people are hungry and I don't have what it takes to feed them. But you do. And I know you have everything I need. I'm asking for 3 loaves. I'm asking for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for all you have for me. I'm asking for the fullness of what Calvary bought me when Jesus died for my sins and rose again from the grave. I ask you for the love of the Father, the compassion of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit to come into my life because it's dark outside. Can you imagine tonight when you rise to your feet, if somebody sitting here who doesn't know Christ hears you pray like that? And you're not praying for yourself. You're not standing at the door saying, God, give me bread for me. I want 3 loaves. I want one for Monday, one for Tuesday, and one for Wednesday. Everybody expects everybody else to be selfish. But when we stand at the throne of God and the motive of our heart is not for ourselves, but it's for other people, it stirs something inside. And people sitting in our midst tonight say, God, only you could do that, because all of us are selfish inherently to the core of our being. We don't have it within us to give to others. And the way I hear this man or woman praying tonight has stirred my heart. And when she saw the way Solomon went up to the throne of grace, she had no more spirit in her. The questions were answered. The deepest needs of her heart were met. Her deepest desires had come to completion. She'd come to the understanding there is a God in this world. He has a name. And he loves us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm going to ask Pastor Patrick to come in just a moment. I'd like us to stand and I'd like us to pray. I'd like us to pray for food for other people. I'd like us to pray tonight for people in this sanctuary who are not saved. I'd like you to pray for people in your neighborhood, in your home, in your community who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Pray with passion. Pray with this importunity. It's actually called recklessness, one of the original translations. Come to the throne of God and petition for those who don't have the strength of Christ to get through the days that we're now living in. It's midnight now. It's dark. It's spiritually dark. They don't have the strength. And you and I are going to pray. And we're going to believe God for a mighty spiritual awakening in New York City. And we're going to believe God to do it through us. Not through somebody else. Through you. God's going to put the loaves in your hand tonight. The compassion of the Father. Remember that. The love of the Son. And the power of the Holy Spirit can be yours. And God will put it in you. You knock on that door. Remember Jesus said, everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, it shall be open. Everyone who asks, receives. And if you give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you are willing to ask, I believe that God's willing to do a miracle tonight. I've sensed it this whole evening. Something divine is underfoot in this house tonight. And God is willing to fill us and give us the strength that we need. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hands and lift your voice to the heavens now and begin to ask God to fill you. Give you the strength you need to make a difference in this generation. Hallelujah. Thank you. Pastor, come lead us, please, if you will.
Come on, folks. You lift your voice to God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you tonight. We yield ourselves to you. We yield our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, Lord, because of your finished work on the cross. As we heard tonight, God, Lord, we come to you, Lord. Lord, on behalf of this generation, on behalf of our communities, on behalf, Lord, of our co-workers, on behalf, oh God, of our unsaved family members, God, on behalf, oh God, of our classmates, Lord, our friends, Lord, oh God, we come to you and we cry out to you tonight. We're not going to let you go till you bless us, God, until you fill us, oh God, until you use us, God, until you pour out your spirit on this generation, Lord. Until you flow through us, Lord. Until you make each and every one of us intercessors, evangelists, oh God, soul winners. Until you fill our quivers, oh God. Lord, until you fill our baskets, God, we're not going to let you go, God. We thank you for your love, Heavenly Father, your love. Your word says that you so loved us, you sent your Son. Thank you for your love for this generation. May we be partakers. May we share that heart of love, that same burden, Lord, for the lost around us. May we share your heart, oh God. Fill us with your love. I pray for a fresh baptism of your love, oh God. A fresh baptism of your heart, oh God, your love, your heart of love. Jesus, your word says when you saw the multitudes, you were moved with compassion. We ask for your heart of compassion, God. That we would be moved with your compassion, Lord. Move with your compassion for the poor, for the lost, for the needy, for the dying, for the destitute, oh God. Holy Spirit, thank you for your power. Thank you that your anointing still breaks every yoke, still sets the captives free. Your anointing, oh God, is still able, oh God, to cause the word to come alive. To cause the scripture, Lord, to penetrate even to the marrow, to the bone, Lord, to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, your word, your anointing, Holy Spirit is still able, oh God, Lord, to bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Anointing, fall fresh on us. Anointing, fall fresh on this city. Anointing, fall fresh on our workplaces. Anointing, fall fresh on our families. Anointing, fall fresh on our buildings, our tenement buildings. Anointing, fall fresh on our schools and our campuses. Anointing, fall fresh on the hospitals and nursing homes, Lord, in prisons in this city. Anointing, come. Spirit of God, come and breathe on us. Breathe on this city. Breathe on your church. Breathe on your bride. Mobilize this army. Cause us to rise up in you and to go forth, oh God. An exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Breathe on us tonight, Spirit of the living God. Breathe on us tonight. Breathe on us tonight. Fan the flame of our hearts, Lord. Our passion, our love, Lord. Not only for you, but for our neighbors. Hallelujah. You said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Oh God, pour out your spirit on us. Pour out your spirit on this city, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to be on fire. Lord, we don't want to be able to contain the word that you give us in our devotions. God, that your word would burn like fire, shut up in our bones, that we would not be able to stay quiet, that we would have a word, Lord, a word for our neighbors, a word for our co-workers, a word for our unsafe family members, a word for our classmates, a word for those that are in hospitals, those that are shut-ins, Lord, those that are in nursing homes, those that are about to go out into a godless eternity. God, we're asking for a word in our devotions. Cause our devotions to come alive. Cause our devotions to live. Cause our devotions to be on fire. Give us a word in our devotions. A word for this generation. Lord, we want to be on fire. We want to be on fire. We want to be on fire for you. On fire! On fire for you, God! on fire with your love, on fire with your compassion, on fire, Lord, with your heart, with your Holy Spirit. Send fresh fire into our souls, God. Lord, we're not going to let you go until you bless this city, until you bless this city, until you get a hold of this city, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for stirring our hearts. We give you absolute permission, Lord, to stir us when we're at home, to stir us in our daily commutes, to stir us wherever we are, God, to speak to our hearts. God, we just thank you for what you're going to do. And God, we expect you to do great things because you are a great God. There is none besides you. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you will be glorified. And God, we magnify you tonight. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. We stake everything on you, God, tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's give him thanks tonight. Let's give him praise tonight.
Now, we're going to worship. We're going to worship just for a moment. And as we do, I want to ask for every person who's here tonight that your questions have been answered. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus. He gave his life for you. He died on the cross to pay the price for the wrong that you've done so that you can be reconnected to God. Promises you life and forgiveness when you come to him, and promises you heaven when you die. Sets everything in divine order in your mind and your life and your heart. And that can begin tonight. Your questions are answered and you say, I have no more questions. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out of where I am, and I'm going to come to the front of this auditorium and give my life to him. My questions are answered. If that's you right now, just slip out wherever you are. Make your way here, please, if you will. Just join those that are going to be coming. Just please, sir, come close. Tell them God bless you. Just make your way down. God bless you, sir. God bless you. The balcony, go to either exit. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, young man. Come on down. God bless you. Pleasure to have you here. Come on down. Just come on down. Those who can say, listen, I know that what I'm experiencing is real. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't fully get it all, but I know it's real, and I know I want it. And for those that simply, your questions are answered, I want you to come. Join these. There's five people here. There's six. There's another gentleman coming. Join them. Don't be ashamed. Just step out of wherever you are and come. Praise God. Praise God. Come on down. Don't be shy. Just come on all the way down. In the balcony. Just keep coming. Just join these that are coming. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed of Christ. He's not ashamed of you. Hallelujah. Now let's worship. And as we worship, just keep stepping out wherever you are. Turn to the person beside you and say, listen, if you want to go down there and you're afraid, I'll go with you. Do that right now. Just tell them, I'll go with you. For those that are here at the front tonight, Jesus is going to forgive you for every wrong thing that you've ever done. As strange as that may seem, that's what he does. And once the sin and separation from God is dealt with, then suddenly his life becomes ours. And divine order comes and confusion goes away. And weakness turns to strength. And we start to know why we were born, why we're here, and what the purpose of our life is. And he begins to do something in us that's miraculous. And you won't need me tonight to prove to you that God is real. You'll know it yourself in just a very short while. as you begin to change from the inside out. That's what he does. That's how he does it. And you'll know he's real. And soon people will be looking at you and the way you go to prayer meetings and the way you come into the office in the morning, and they just see something about you. They see that they don't have. It's just the presence of God. You've been reunited, reconnected with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want to encourage you to make that prayer your own tonight. And if you do that, he will come and save you. And he will begin to lead you and guide you throughout the rest of your life and give you the strength that you need to live for him. It will be an amazing life, I guarantee you that. It is an amazing life to live for God. It's an incredible life. Thank God. Let's pray together, please, if you will. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. I've done wrong. But I thank you tonight that you went to a cross and took my place and paid the price for the wrong I have done. You did it because you loved me and you didn't want to lose me. You wanted to bring me back again to a relationship with you. Tonight, I open my heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I give my life to you. And I ask you from this day forward to be my God and to be the one who leads me for the rest of my life. I give you the rights to my life and to my future. I know that you only have good for me. And you will bring things into my life that will gladden my heart. Help me to never turn back from you, and to walk with you all of my days. I thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. I do believe that tonight I have become a child of God. You have received me. You've cleansed me from my sin. And you have made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Guide me and help me for the rest of my days. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.